From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. In a few minutes, the latest in our series, Growing Up After Cancer, how the disease almost vaporized a young woman's dream of becoming an artist. First, to Austin, where the Texas House just passed its version of the state budget. That came after legislators spent 17 hours debating into the wee hours of the morning. KERA's Sam Baker caught up with Ross Ramsey, executive editor of the Texas Tribune. He says the House's $210 billion budget reflects the priorities of Governor Greg Abbott.
The question that's still in front of the legislature is which taxes they're going to cut and by how much. And the House and the Senate have some differences there. All Greg Abbott has said on the subject was that any budget that does not include a business tax cut will get a veto. But in terms of all of the other programs and things, I think everybody's more or less on the same page.
Well, funding for pre-K, though, proved to be a major issue in the budget debate, didn't it?
It did. You know, the question is not, you know, this is one of those programs that everybody says they want, and when you ask them how much they want to spend on it, the answers go all over the place. One of the questions is whether it's full day pre-K all over the state, or whether it's partial day, or whether it actually reaches all over the state. All Greg Abbott has said, really, is that he wants a robust pre-K program, and I think he might be willing to phase that in.
There is more money for schools overall, but we still haven't made up what was cut in 2011.
Right. So they are almost back up to the levels of funding that they had before the 2011 cuts. One of the complaints from people who'd like to see more money in education is that they're not replacing the money that would account for growth since then. So they're up to the 2011 levels, but they're not to the levels 2015 would have been without the 2011 cuts.
And of course, what, we're still waiting court rulings that could shake up everything.
And the Texas House has proposed in separate legislation some new funding for public education that could close some of the gap further.
Well, border security got more money, so we've got more troops headed for the border?
A couple of questions. One of them is, how much money do you want to spend on this? How much money do you want to spend on Texas National Guard troops? How much do you want to spend on Texas State Police? How do you want to equip them? And how are you going to measure the results from whatever dollars you spend? And all of those are open questions and subject to some argument that I think is still probably ahead when they reconcile the House and Senate budgets.
The legislature has been in Republican hands for some time now, but did you see anything come up in this House debate that would indicate that that Republican control is even stronger?
You know, Texas has become a two-party Republican state, and some issues still split them. And I think a lot of these are going to be manifest in the differences between the House and the Senate. If you were going to cut taxes, would you cut property taxes or sales taxes? Would you cut taxes for big business or little business? You know, what used to be partisan fights when it was a Republican versus Democratic House are now intra-party fights within the Republican Party.
Ross Ramsey, thank you for being with me.
Thanks as always.
In Dallas, District Attorney Susan Hawk named her new number two today. It's Messina Madsen. She replaces Bill Wersky, who was fired by Hawk last week. The appointment comes a day after Hawk lectured at SMU. On Friday, she acknowledged that during her last campaign, she checked into a treatment center because of problems with painkillers. KERA's Bill Zeeble has the story.
D.A. Hawk's lecture was more a Q&A with SMU Law School Dean Jennifer Collins. School representatives told reporters that Hawk would tackle the back pain and treatment issues right off.
This has been a very challenging week, but I'm very excited to be here and get to talk about the good things that we have been doing and what we are doing at the Dallas County District Attorney's Office. I think the one lesson, or the most important thing that I know, that when you stand on the truth, you never fall down.
That was it. That's the closest Hawk came to addressing the controversial events of last week, which also included firing her second in command. Weeks earlier, her administrative chief left under pressure. Maybe Hawk was following her own advice, offered to SMU law students.
You have your instincts. Trust your gut. Trust your gut. It never steers you wrong. It's probably the best advice I can give.
That satisfied Thomas Gebert, a businessman who was outside after the talk.
I won't try to second guess her. You know, she made decisions. Were they the best decisions? I don't know. She's running the office. She's the DA, and she has to make those decisions.
Gebert is a Democrat who voted for Republican Hawk, but identifies with her, saying he's been in tough spots too.
Sometimes you become a victim of the system itself. The reason that we are as strong as we are a country of laws. And when it's not perfect, And she may not be perfect, but I'm still supporting her.
Hawk may need support like Gabbert's to weather the current controversy. She says she'll keep her promise to hold community forums around the county, with the next in Pleasant Grove later this month. Bill Zeeble, KERA News.
Adults who choose not to have children sometimes get labeled selfish, shallow, and self-absorbed. That's the title of a new book of essays by people who've made that choice. Today on Think, the book's editor, Megan Dahm, told Chris Boyd that childless doesn't mean childish.
There is an assumption, and there has been for a very long time, that you are not an adult. You do not qualify as a full-fledged, mature adult person until you become a parent. I would suggest, and I would actually insist, that being a responsible, moral person means being in society in the best, most productive, useful, peaceful way that you can be. And there is nothing less responsible than having a child when you don't really want to be a parent. I can't think of anything worse for children.
Megan Dahm is the editor of Selfish, Shallow, and Self-Absorbed, 16 Writers on the Decision Not to Have Kids. Go to KERANews.org to see the three questions childless adults are so tired of hearing. Jocelyn Garcia was diagnosed with leukemia at age 12 years old. She was treated at Children's Medical Center in Dallas and has been cancer-free since 2009. As part of KERA's breakthrough series, Growing Up After Cancer, the 19-year-old tells producer Stephanie Kuo how the disease nearly derailed her hopes of becoming an artist.
When I was told I had cancer, I didn't really fully understand it just because of my age. And I always feared that I wasn't going to make it. At the time, I was just really worried about staying alive. I started losing my hand mobility. I really lost all mobility. I was bedridden for a good month. It really hurt to move. Not being able to move my hands fluently was very tough, especially with me like being a painter, and holding the pencil itself was hard. Keeping a firm grip on a paintbrush was even harder. At first, I was really frustrated. I would make stuff and I would ball it up and throw it away because I didn't like it and because it didn't look like what I had been doing. That really scared me because I didn't want to lose that ability, that magic. Art to me is like water to plants, like air to breathe. I have to do it. If you don't breathe, you'll die. My artwork really helped me through my treatment, just because I could express myself and keep my mind busy too. Used to be that whenever, you know, people asked me about my cancer experience and everything that I went through, I couldn't talk about it without crying, and it's gotten easier and easier. You know, you get one life and that's it. I've seen how art can be kind of a source of inspiration for other young artists as well, to let them know just because someone tells you you can't go to school because there's germs everywhere, or you can't do this because X reason, that if you believe in yourself enough, you can do it. Because I lost my hand mobility. At the time, I just thought I was a horrible artist, and now I'm making these pieces that I would never thought I would be making at the time that I was so sick.
This story is part of the KERA Breakthrough Series, Growing Up After Cancer. You can see a video of Jocelyn Garcia in her studio at cancer.kera.org. And tonight at 8, KERA-TV airs the final episode of the PBS documentary, Cancer, the Emperor of All Maladies. Mostly cloudy skies this evening. Slight chance for showers with a low near 65. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, a 20% chance of rain with a high near 84. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin.